Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
So I want to begin with a story this morning. I just want to share a story with you, and then we'll go into God's word. Of course, the story is part of the service. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this gentleman wakes up on a Sunday morning, and he goes to the swimming pool. And as soon as he gets in the water, he tries to swim. He drowns, and he dies. And he just got married yesterday. And only having spent one night as a married man. The young wife becomes a widow after just one day of getting married. And that story happened 10 years ago. It's a true story. And why have I told you that story to begin with? I've been trying to think for quite some time now. I go to a swimming pool and I've always wondered why are swimming pools not more than 2 meters deep? I don't know how deep they are these days. Sometimes it's 1.5 meters deep. Sometimes it's 1.9 meters deep. That's the deepest point. And it's because of pressure. It's because of pressure. And human beings are not recommended to swim below 45 meters, human beings. And even those that do the diving at the lake or diving at the sea, they're encouraged, you're not supposed to dive below 305 meters. But something caught my attention. Why is it that human beings are told, don't swim below 45 meters, don't dive, or don't do diving below 305 meters. The reason is because the deeper one goes in water, the higher the water pressure. And in order for me to explain to you what that pressure is basically this continuous physical force that is exerted on you from all sides. And the only way the force comes against you like that, is that force can actually end up breaking you. And that force is not something else that is imaginable. It's actually a true experience. To the point that as you begin to go deeper and deeper and deeper in the water, that force can compress your lungs and every tissue in your body to the extent that your lungs can be filled with blood and your lungs can collapse. But whilst all this can happen to you as a human being, worms, fish, crabs, seals, they seem to handle the pressure that we as human beings cannot handle the same pressure in water. And you look at a fish and I go like, fish handles pressure in water that I cannot handle. A worm can handle pressure in water that I cannot handle. A crab can handle pressure in water that I cannot handle. And you look at, there's a group of whales, they're called beaked whales. Beaked whales, actually we are told that they can go as deep as 3,048 meters below the sea level. So the sea level is when you come at this, you go to the water, You go to the water and then you begin to go down. So the worms can go all the way down, and at that stage, the pressure, the worms that are down there are over 304 times greater than the pressure that anyone else can feel on top of the sea. And these ones can handle all that pressure, and they're not broken and they don't die. In 2014, in the Western Pacific Ocean, they managed to catch a fish that's only about 28.8 centimeters long, and it weighs only 160 grams. I don't know how much is sugar. Sugar is how many grams is sugar? A packet of sugar is that's 2 kg, right? 2 kg or 1 kg? 1 kg. 1 kg is how many grams? 1,000. So then not even the weight of sugar. Because if sugar is 1,000 grams, this fish weighs only 160 grams. 28.8 meters, 28.8 centimeters, and only weighs 160 grams. But when they caught, where they caught this fish is amazing. It's called the Mariana Hadal snail fish. And it was caught at a depth of 7,966 meters below the sea. And when they caught that fish, they began to think, how could this deep sea creature survive in a place where the pressure is almost 800 times greater than the pressure at the top of the sea? They found a few things. One of the things that they found was that the scar, the head of that fish, when you look at the picture, is like a tadpole. A tadpole is when frogs have laid eggs in the water, and then the eggs have hatched. You have these small creatures that begin to swim in the water. The head looks a little bit bigger. The tail is small, and then later on it develops into a frog. So they found that the fish of this herd is more or less like a tadpole, and its scar is incomplete. There is space in the scar that is not like the way we are, that our scars are full. There was some gap. And they also found that some organs within that fish were enlarged. And when they measured that fish and they did everything else, they found that this small 160 gram fish, 28.8 centimeters long, found at 7,966 meters below the sea level, it could withstand more water pressure than 1,600 elephants standing on that herd. It could handle that pressure. And the reason why it could handle all that pressure is not because of what is on the outside, but it is because of what is in the inside. Its internal control system causes it to withstand the crushing pressure and the darkness that is below there. And when you begin to look at Jumbo and all the other fishes, it's actually the gills. So the water begins to come through the gills. It comes from this gill and it comes out of the other gill. And as you see water, actually, when you catch a fish, that these things go out. It's like it's breathing. It's because the water goes in, and as the water goes in, comes in and goes out, through that process, the fish begins to get oxygen. And in all these things, why am I sharing that story? It's because in life, we face all sorts of pressures. And actually, there are several kinds of pressures we face. The first kind of pressure that we face, which more than 52% of people in the world, when they were asked, what is your number one pressure? They found that the number one pressure for most people is money, financial pressure. So there is financial pressure that comes on people. And actually, it's so interesting that you feel that pressure. You because you feel it, you cannot explain it. Sometimes actually you can even have headache. Because you're trying to think, how are we going to make it? How are things going to balance? Because pressure is all about balance. When the water waves are coming from this end and the water waves are coming from that end, and all that is coming, pam! And there's all this that is coming. It means within you there need to be an internal control system that when this wave and that wave is coming against you, you can still be able to stand. Hallelujah. And this pressure, the financial pressures that you can feel sometimes as they begin to come and hitting you on the left and hitting you on the right and hitting you from the front and hitting you from the back and hitting you from the top and hitting you from underneath, you can feel it and it can cause headache, pressure. Sometimes the demands, parenting causes pressure. Sometimes the kids, you wonder, why can't you just be okay for a little bit? Because the other one is healed today, the other one takes over tomorrow. And you are in the hospital day after day after day after day. And the hospitals are not even kind enough. Instead of saying, you've been coming for quite a long time, you are a very good customer, today we are just going to treat you for free, they still want money from you. Pressure. The challenges of life, the marital challenges that we face in life, pressure. The career challenges, you looked for a job, you've looked right, left, center. And it just doesn't seem like, it's as if in the world, it hasn't worked. Recently, I met a friend and I said, so how many jobs have you applied for? He says, I've applied for 300. I've sent out 300 job applications. They have not invited me to even one single interview. And I said, I know of a brother who sent out in applications 1,000 times. And then he was invited. And he said, Pastor, you want me to wait for at least one? I said, no, that's not what I mean. But when you look at all that comes with pressure. Career pressure. Marital pressure, parenting pressure. And sometimes you face all these sorts of obstacles. You try to make progress, but it's like one obstacle after another obstacle after another obstacle. Pressure. There are all these difficulties, pressure. But there's something that the Bible says. Why is it that we have faced all these pressures, but we are not dead? There's pressure on the right, there's pressure on the left, and it keeps on coming all the time. Because sometimes, as I talk about these pressures, as I talk about the demands, academic pressure, you ask a young man, a young girl, they are studying for an exam. The kind of pressure that they feel, you can't believe. I remember we have a friend. Every time exams were around the corner, he would always have a mental breakdown. Sometimes this pressure can cause a mental breakdown. It can cause you to experience a serious, serious mental breakdown. And it's called pressure. Sometimes you've got the health and wellness challenges. The pressure just keeps on coming. Health challenges that don't seem to go anywhere. As all these pressures are coming, the Bible tells us why. There's an answer in the Bible why we have faced all these pressures. Because sometimes, interestingly, we may be going not through only one pressure. We may be going through two pressures. We may be going through three pressures. We may be going through four pressures. We may feel that weight of 1,600 elephants on our head. But why is it that we are not broken? Because there is an answer in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The reason why we are not crushed, the reason why we are not destroyed, the reason why we are not gone, or even though all these pressures are coming upon our lives, the Bible gives us an answer, and he says, you are of God, little children. You are like that little tadpole fish. Even though you may sound little, even though you may be little, but something inside you can handle all this pressure that comes upon your life. And that thing is that God himself lives within you. Hallelujah. It says, he who is in you, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than the marital pressure. He who is in you is greater than the financial pressure. He who is in you is greater than the parenting pressure. He who is in you is greater than the demands upon your life. He who is in you is greater than the challenges of life. He who is in you is greater than the obstacles of life. He who is in you is greater than the difficulties of life. And because he is greater than anything that comes as pressure, the Bible says we are not broken. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It says because of that, we are not broken. And as I said this morning, some of us may be going through all these pressures. And the Bible says the reason why you are not broken is because of he who is in you. He who is in you. That's actually one of the reasons why it's absolutely crucial, absolutely important for a person never to walk through the journey of life without Christ. When we begin to talk about being born again, because when we begin to talk about he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, we are talking about being born again. We are talking about accepting Christ into our lives as Lord and Savior. We're talking about acknowledging that we are a sinner, and we're talking about believing that God can handle the pressures we cannot handle. Hallelujah. Amen. We are talking about confessing him as Lord. And the Bible says when we do that, he comes and dwells in us. And when he comes and dwells in us, we can conquer all these things. One of the biggest challenges Malawi is facing right now is this. I want to find a better word for it. But the number of people attempting suicide and the number of committing suicide is increasing. And every time you check, why did he or she attempt suicide? Why did he or she commit suicide? Most of the times, it's because of pressure. Most of the times. It's because they couldn't handle it anymore. Recently, I heard of a story of, I think, of a young man or a young girl who attempted suicide because they were not selected to go for Form 1. I heard a story not long ago of a young man who failed an exam. He was trying to train, I think, as a pilot or something. And he committed suicide. And the number of mental health issues are increasing over and over and over. And you try to begin to find part and parcel of that is because of the pressure. The Bible says, he who is in us. He who is in us. My daughter was telling me of a story which just happened last week. At a college, one of her college mates jumps from a fourth floor down. Thank God she didn't die. And the college writes us an email, all of us as parents, and say, you must have heard about this incident that happened at the school and all that. And then we ask our daughter and they said, what happened? And say, it was attempted suicide. And we begin to check and we find that it was because of academic pressure. So all these things, the Bible says, they cause all this sort of pressure. But the reason why we are not broken is because of he who is in us. He who is in us. It has never been about us. It has always been about him who is in us. Some of the very same things that when we face them, we can still go through them and not think of ending our life. The very same things, somebody else can go through them and decide, I'm just going to end my life. And the Bible says the reason why is because of he who is in us. So one day, Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So the Bible says there is a treasure, and even though this treasure is in the earthen vessels, you can only begin to conclude that if God is in us, there is a treasure within us. And even though we are human beings and we go through all these things, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence or the power may be of God and not of us. So even though we are flesh, even though we go through all these things, even though we are an earthen vessel made from dust, the Bible is telling us there is something else which is called the excellence of the power. And that excellence of the power, the Bible is telling us that it is of God and not of us. Let's go to verse 8. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. What does being hard pressed on every side means? It means you are having troubles coming from all directions, and it looks like the situation doesn't have any hope of escape or any hope of survival. So the Paul is writing, he says, as we live in this world, there are troubles that come from all angles. There are troubles that come from the right, troubles that come from the left, troubles that come from the front, troubles that come from the back, and they keep on coming. And sometimes you feel like there is no hope for survival. Sometimes you feel like there is no way out. Sometimes you feel like, how am I going to make it? How am I going to survive? How am I going to escape? And the Bible says, because of he who is in us, he is greater than he who is in the world, we are not crushed. We are not crushed. That is the reason why we are not crushed. As you carry on, he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. What does being perplexed mean? Being perplexed, it means there is no path or course of action or no solution in sight. You can't see any solution. You try to think. Sometimes you go through life and you try to think, maybe if I tried that and that and that, maybe things will work, and nothing works. There was a time I tried to sell something for a long time. Never sold it. And you feel like, okay, if somebody could just buy this, maybe I'll sort out this problem. And nobody's interested. And some of the things that they buy are even not as nicer as the one you're trying to sell. There was a point we were living in England, and we were leaving the country to go back, to come back to Africa. We tried to sell our car, but the car couldn't sell. It couldn't sell. It was really nice. It couldn't sell. And the morning we were leaving, I went to a friend's house to say bye to them. And he said, so what are you going to do with the car? I said, like, we have tried to sell this car. This car hasn't sold. Nobody is interested to buy this vehicle. Says, we were just discussing with my wife yesterday, because they had, I think, about four kids, that we need a bigger vehicle. Would you mind leaving the car with us? And we'll be paying you little by little. I said, where I am right now. Even if you be telling me you be paying 2 kwacha per month, I don't mind. Do you want it now? I said, drive me back to the house. He drove me back to the house. And he took the car. Thank God he paid. We tried to sell a mattress. A mattress couldn't sell. And then this sister would have just moved in from Zimbabwe. We had just had to take the mattress and whatever we had and say, like, you have moved here. Begin life from here. We tried to sell a fridge. A fridge couldn't sell. We had to take it to someone else and say, we came to give. Those are moments when when even though you don't know how to give, you feel like I can't give. You just say, like, I'm giving. Because the only option is you have to go and throw it somewhere else. And you feel like, no, my heart is going to bleed too much that I took a fridge and put it in a rubbish pit. I would rather give it to someone else. Pressure. Hallelujah. Amen. That we go through that kind of pressure, perplexed. No solution in sight. And you may be here this morning that you look at life, it looks like there is no solution in sight. The Bible says we are perplexed, but I want you to hear what the Bible says. It says that we are not in despair. The reason why we are not in despair is because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You look around and the Bible declares, it says, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. You come to the point that where the only thing you have is hope. And people look at you and go like, okay, why are you still smiling? And I still have hope. I still have hope that someday, one day, sometime, things will turn out all right. And it's true. The reason why they will turn out okay is because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So it's, even though we may be perplexed, but we do not go in despair because of he who is in us. Let's go to the next part. He says, persecuted, but not abandoned. What does being persecuted mean? It means to be subjected to hostility, to be subjected to ill treatment for whatever reason. Sometimes the ill treatment, sometimes the hostility we face in life is just because you are a believer. And you can feel it. You are among people and you can actually feel. You can feel. I don't know. Have you gone through that?
Yes.
Or you turn up at the village and you feel it. You feel it in the air. That's the only way I can explain it. You feel it in the air. You feel it. I'm not welcome here. They don't want me here. Looks like something is not going okay here. And you're not the first one. After serving for 20 years, and as this young man was serving this gentleman for 20 years, the gentleman changed the wages the salary for this young man, not one time, 10 times. And he changed it not upwards. Don't think it was an increment. It was going down. He changed the salary for 10 solid times in 20 years. It's like every 2 years he was bringing the salary downwards. Every 2 years he was bringing the salary downwards. Every 2 years he was bringing the salary downwards. But it was after he had served even this man for 14 years to marry his two daughters. 6 years he was taking care of the sheep of this guy. And every time he's taking care of the sheep and he goes to the field and there is a beast who comes and takes off one of the sheep, the man would say, you're going to pay back that sheep. After 20 years, the man says, enough is enough. Because the God of his father spoke to him and he decided, I'm going to leave. And on this day, he decides, I'm going to leave without telling him that I'm leaving. So he told it to his two wives and the kids, we are leaving tomorrow. And they left. Afterwards, he was told to this father-in-law of his, your son-in-law has escaped. The father-in-law gathered people to pursue him. After 7 days, they overtook him, but he was in the mountains. Later on, they come face to face. And this is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 31. In Genesis chapter 31. The Bible says, this is Laban speaking to Jacob. Are you there? Genesis 31, you there? In Genesis 31 and in verse 29, the Bible says, this is what it says there. It is in my power to do you harm. It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. Be very careful what you speak to him. Hallelujah. Be careful what you speak to Jacob. And when he appears, when Laban appears to Jacob, he says, in other versions of the Bible, says, I could destroy you. When he comes, and actually you can see that Laban is not saying these things smiling. Laban is angry. Laban is telling Jacob, I could destroy you. The way people do it with a finger, I could destroy you. He tells him, it is in my power to do you harm. And the New American Standard Bible says, it is in my power to do you great harm. It is in my power to do you great harm. The King James Version, it says, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. The NIV says, I have the power to harm you. In other words, what Laban is saying to Jacob is, I have the capability to physically harm you and take by force from you whatever I don't want you to take. I have got that power. And I want to tell us this morning, sometimes we may be going through life like that, whereby you just feel like the only thing you can smell in the air is harm. You come in this place, the only thing that is there is, but the Bible says, he who is in us eventually speaks. Because he had to speak to Laban, and he says to Laban, be careful what you speak to Jacob. Neither good nor bad. In other words, what God is saying to Laban is, leave Jacob alone. Leave Jacob alone. And some of us, we have worked maybe for years upon years, no increment. There is a day when God will speak on your behalf. Amen. There is a day when God will speak on your behalf. We have stayed years and years without being promoted. There is a day when God will speak on your behalf. There is an issue that even if you try to say something else, people can't understand. There is a day when God will speak on your behalf. All these things, at the end of the day, they develop the character in us. And we go through all these things and people are wondering, can anything break you? But the answer is, yeah,
everything can truly break me if it wasn't for He who is in me. Because He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. God is God, and He works all things, including your life, to His purpose. In Psalm 52, verse 57, verse 2, it says, I cry out to the Lord Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. Who will fulfill His purpose for me? What the Bible there is saying is that the purpose of God for your life, no matter the pressure, will come to pass. The reason why is because He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Your life right now may look like you have come to a standstill. It looks like nothing is working. Nothing is moving. You're not going anywhere. But let's look at a few final scriptures. In Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and He heard my cry. What is the psalmist saying there? Inclining means listening intently, listening attentively, listening receptively to what someone else is saying. But I want you to look at what David is saying there. He says, I waited patiently. Now, how can you say, I waited patiently? The only way you can say, I waited patiently, my own words, would be, in my waiting, I waited. You understand? Whilst I was waiting, I had to come to another stage. Whilst I was already waiting, I had to come to another stage of what? Waiting. So I waited in my waiting for the Lord to hear my cry. And whilst I was in that condition of waiting in the waiting, the Bible says, in that waiting of waiting, finally God listened attentively to my cry. Abraham had to wait 25 years. That was more or less like, that was waiting in the waiting. Joseph had to wait for 13 years. That was waiting in the waiting. Hannah had to wait for I don't know how long. That was waiting in the waiting. But there was hostility from Penina. Unfortunately, sometimes whilst we are waiting in the waiting, we stop waiting in the waiting. Then we feel like, Lord, the Lord doesn't hear. But I want to tell you, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So he says, after he heard my cry, he brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and I set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. There's only one person who establishes steps of people in the world, and that person is what? God. He's God what? God. Because he says, whilst I waited in my waiting, and he inclined to my ear, what he eventually did was that he brought me out of a horrible pit. And some of you right now may be going through a kind of a horrible pit of your own kind. But there is a day when the Lord will pick you out of the horrible pit. There is a day when the Lord will pick you out of the miry clay. This is what happens with the miry clay. You put your feet in there, sometimes you are stuck. And you come to a point in life whereby you feel like your life is what? Stuck. But since there is somebody who lifts up at a time when you feel like your feet are stuck. And he says, when he lifted me up, when I was sinking in this miry clay, he lifted me up and established my steps. But where did he establish my steps? He established my steps because he had set me up on a rock. And we sing, Rock of Ages, pray for me. Let me hide myself in thee. There's a point in life when the Lord sets your steps on the rock. And on the rock, there's only one thing you can do, is you walk and walk and walk and walk. There's no sinking when your feet are established on the rock. There's a time when such a time comes in life
There is restoration that happens. There is the rebuilding that happens. There is the rescue that happens. You feel like I'm not going to get rescued, but the Lord comes through and rescues you. Finally, David says he has put a new song in my heart, in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. There is something that happens in our life. The moment the Lord delivers you from a situation that perplexed you, that the situation that looked like it was going to destroy you, a situation that looked like there was no despair, when the moment the Lord delivers you from that, a song always follows. A song always follows. A song just comes out of the mouth. And then the Bible says, when now the world sees all these things, David says, many will see, many will hear. And because when they see and hear, they will put their trust in the Lord. The outcome of God intervening in the pressures of life is a song of praise. It's a song of praise. And he finishes and says, blessed is man who makes his trust in the Lord. So let's go to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 61. There's a song there. I don't know how many of us know it. But the song goes like, hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my life is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. I want all of us to stand. I want all of us to stand. We're going to spend some time to pray. I want all of us to stand. I want all of us to stand. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't know what you're going through. But this is a word that the Lord put upon my life. He says, like, they may be going through pressures. Pressure on the right, pressure on the left. And it looks like it's going to crush them. But I want you to go and tell them that they're not going to get crushed. Because the one who is in them is greater than he who is in the world.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.